Footsore and weary, Nicholas and Smike have walked from Yorkshire and now find themselves on the streets of London, outside the only house that might give them some kind of welcome.
Well, Smike, I cannot promise much, but I hope at least we will find a friend at this door. Mr. Knox.
Well, bless my soul. Can I believe my eyes? Yes, yes. Well, 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 here you are, Mr. Nicholas Nickleby. And, this is...
Smike.
Smike. Well, now, he don't say a lot, but if he's a friend of yours, sir, he is a friend of Newman Noggs. Come, come, both of you, come in. Warm yourselves by the fire.
I see you look distressed, sir, and this adds to the pain I feel at asking, if only for a night, for shelter.
Mr. Nickleby, had you gone anywhere else, I should have been deeply distressed. As I say, I cannot offer you much more than a roof, a fire, and a sip of brandy. But what I have, I share willingly.
God bless you, Mr. Noggs. We both bless you. Smike, come, take off your coat. No, 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 no. We will not take it from you. You shall have it back when it is dry.
Is he S-I-M-P-L-E?
Yes, poor wretch, but honest as the day is long. Now, Mr. Noggs, my mother and my sister, I must know how they are.
Well, both of them...
They are living in the city still.
They are?
And my sister, is she still engaged in the dressmaking business? She wrote to tell me she thought she should like it so much.
Newman opens his eyes rather wider than usual, but only replies with a gasp and a movement of the head which might be taken for a nod.
Good, if she is well, at least.
At least, yes, she's well.
Now, listen to me. Before I would make an effort to see them, I thought it right to come to see you, lest by following my heart I might inflict an injury upon them.
What are you saying, sir?
At your door just now, it seemed to me that you were not surprised to see us.
I? Not always, I
What
I,
has my uncle heard from Yorkshire?
Heard? No, my dear young friend, I heard... your uncle?
What has he heard? Exhausted as I am, I will not close my eyes all night unless you tell me everything.
And if I should tell you everything?
You might make me angry, but believe me, if things were to happen over again, I couldn't act differently. And whatever the consequences to myself, I shall never regret doing as I did that day. To that black-hearted scoundrel Squeers. Hmm? Hey, Smike? Smike? No, he sleeps now, poor boy. But if you'd seen his suffering... No, if I had done nothing, I would have deserved the contempt of every man in existence.
My dear young man, I'm proud to hear of it. I would have done it myself. Indeed I would, you know. Well, a moment. The day before yesterday, your uncle received a letter. I made a hasty copy. Here, read it.
Sir, my pa requests...
My pa requests I write to you. The doctor's is doubtful he will ever recover the use of his legs, which prevents him holding a pen. He is one mass of bruises, both blue and green, and we was impelled to have him carried down into the kitchen where he now lays. Your nephew, that you recommended for a teacher, done this to my pa, and jumped on his body with his feet, and also language, which I will not pollute my pen with. He also assaulted my ma, dashed her to the earth, and drove her back home several inches into her skull, which a few inches more must have entered her brain. The monster, having sated his appetite for blood, ran away, taking a boy of desperate character with him, that he had excited to rebellion, and a garnet ring belonging to my ma. My pa begs that if he comes to you, the ring may be returned, but the assassin let go. If we prosecuted, he would only be transported, and if he is let go, he will be sure to be hung before long, which will save us trouble and be more satisfactory. I remain yours and cetera, Fanny Squeers. P.S. I pity his ignorance and despise.
A profound silence follows these words.
Mr. Noggs, I must go out at once. Go out to my uncle's chambers. Nobody who knows me would believe this story of the ring, but it may suit the purposes of Mr. Ralph Nickleby to attach some credence to it. It is due, not to him, but to myself, that I should state the truth. Besides, I have a word or two to exchange with him, which will not keep cool.
They must keep cool.
They must not indeed.
Hear me speak. He is not there. He's away from town for 3 days. The letter will not be answered before he returns.
Are you certain of this?
Quite. He'd hardly read it before he was called away. It is known to no one except him and us.
Are you sure? If my mother or sister were to hear...
Listen to me! Make no attempt to see even them till he comes home. I know the man. When he returns, go straight to him. Speak as boldly as you like. He can guess the real truth as well as you or I. Trust him for that.
You wish me well and know him better than I do. So, let it rest there for the moment.
And there, for the moment, it rests. Nicholas sleeps and wakes and accepts Newman Nogg's suggestion that he and Smike take over a recently vacated room in the house. And Nicholas resolves to find himself some work.
If I could be doing anything, however slight, until my uncle returns, I should feel happier. It's no disgrace to work. Better at least than lying here doing nothing.
Well, now, there is a small thing. It would pay the rent and a little more, but... No. You wouldn't like it. You could hardly be expected.
Show me, in this wide waste of London, any honest means by which I could even afford the weekly rent of this room, and see if I refuse it.
Why then, the Kenrigs, the good folk who live in this very house, have high hopes of... how should I put it? Their four delightful daughters inheriting a small but definite fortune from a certain Mr. Lillyvick. A relative.
I don't see how their hopes can
now,
in any way...
I believe Mr. Kenwigg has the notion that if the young Mrs. Kenwigs were to have a French tutor to bring up their skill in the language, the said Mr. Lillyvick might look upon the family Kenwigg with greater goodwill. You are proficient in French, I take it?
Well...
Yes?
So, Nicholas finds himself tutor to the children of his landlord. And as he works, he counts the minutes until he can see again his beloved mother and sister Kate and confront Ralph Nickleby with the truth about Dotheboys Hall and the odious Squeers. And so we move forward a few days to a Monday morning, the morning after Kate's distressing experience at the hands of Uncle Ralph's gentleman friends. Little Miss Lacreedy trots briskly through diverse streets at the west end of town, charged with acquainting Madame Mantalini with the fact that Miss Nickleby is too unwell to attend work today, but hopes to be there tomorrow. As she walks, Miss Lacreedy cannot but consider her young friend's indisposition.
I cannot make it out. Her eyes were red, decidedly red. She said she had a headache. But headaches do not make red eyes. Oh, I think she must have been crying. But why? Doubtless it was the behaviour of that old bear. Cross to her, I suppose, old brute.
Relieved by this expression of opinion, Miss Lacreedy hurries on to Madame Mantalini's, where she informs the second-in-command, Miss Nagg, of her mission, and answers Miss Nagg's impolite, "So far as I'm concerned, we could spare Miss Nickleby forevermore," with the excellent riposte,
"Oh, indeed, ma'am. But you see, you are not mistress of the business, and therefore it's of no great consequence. Now, goodbye to you. And many obligations for your extreme politeness and good breeding."
And she turns on her heel and hurries away. And here was one advantage of living alone so long. Miss Lacreedy, living within herself, is quite happy to make a confidant of herself. This way, she satisfied herself that whatever she says, were it even scandal or gossip, it will not get about and harm anyone.
I wonder who that was. A nice person to know, I should think. I wish I had the painting of her. I should do her justice, I should think.
There are, it must be said, many warm hearts in the same solitary guise as Miss La Creevy's. However, that's neither here nor there. She goes home, drinks a cup of chocolate, and has scarcely caught its flavour when the servant announces a gentleman.
Oh, dear, dear. To think I should be late in this morning when I've been ready by 8 o'clock for a week with no sitter.
Don't let me put you out of the way. I told the servant not to mention my name as I wish to surprise you.
Mr. Nicholas!
Oh, you haven't forgotten me, I see.
Oh, why not for a moment? Now, I'll tell you what, young man. I'll thank you not to repeat that impertinent kiss you gave me when you went away.
Well, I shall try, Miss La Creevy, but I fear I may not succeed in resisting the temptation. No. Oh, no. There we are. I failed.
I never saw such a rude creature. But now I look at you, you are thinner than when we saw you last. Your face is haggard and pale. And how come you to have left Yorkshire?
I have known suffering. I have been very poor, even very hungry.
Prince Nicholas, what are you telling me?
Nothing that need distress you quite so much. I certainly didn't come here to bewail my lot, but for matter more to the purpose, I wish to meet my uncle face to face.
Then all I have to tell you is that I don't envy you your taste. Just sitting in the same room as his boots would put me out of humour for a fortnight.
I do not wish his company for enjoyment. I wish to confront him, to justify myself, to cast his duplicity and malice in his throat.
Oh, that's quite another matter. I shouldn't cry my eyes out if his words choked him.
I called at his house in Golden Square this morning. He only returned to town on Saturday.
And did you see him?
No, he'd gone out.
On some charitable business, no doubt.
Well, I have reason to believe, from a friend who knows his mind, that he intends seeing my mother and sister today. He intends to give them his version of the events that have befallen me. I will meet him there.
Wait. There's much to be thought of. Others to be considered.
I have considered others, but as honesty and honour are both at issue, nothing shall stop me.
You should know best.
I hope so. All I want you to do for me is to prepare them for my coming. They think me a long way off, and if I went wholly unexpected, I should frighten them. If you can spare the time to tell them that you have seen me and that I shall be with them in a quarter of an hour, you will do me a great service.
I wish I could do you a greater.
Miss La Creevy finishes her chocolate with great speed, puts on her bonnet, and sallies forth.
Oh, if only... if only there were not so very many bad people up to mischief in this world.
And reaches the gloomy house in Thames Street where Mrs. Nickleby and Kate are dwelling, not knowing, even as she rings the bell, that Ralph Nickleby has arrived before her and is even now spreading poison from Yorkshire.